If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance. I get the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at Bethel. Again, so glad that all of you guys are here with all of the great churches in our community. Thank you so much for choosing Bethel. You know, today is a special day, not just because we're celebrating 14 years as a church, but the other reason is because we have some young ministers here today that we're actually going to be setting in as pastors here at Bethel. You know, one of our hearts here at this church is to see the college campus changed for Jesus. College students are not coming to the church, guys. So therefore, what do we have to do? We have to go to them. And that's exactly what we're doing. And these two young men that we're going to be setting in today were reached through our campus ministry, Every Nation Campus. Got born again at Austin Peay State University, started coming to Bethel, started to take simple steps of getting plugged into the life of our church. And really the ministry call of God on their life began to stir. And today, I just want to bring up these two gentlemen with their wives, and that's Aaron and Jasmine Rooks, come on up. And Vince and Miranda Ruda, come on up. Pastor Ron, you come up as well. Come on, let's give these guys a hand clap, these two families. I hear them. You know, this is such a special day for these two men and their wives, because like I told them earlier, I said, really, what's going to happen today is what I'm going to pray on you today is the fear of the Lord in a greater way. And so they were backing away saying, hold on, I don't know if I want to do this. But it really is the call of God. And the Bible talks about there's a five-fold ministry call: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And these two men standing up in front of you today really are pastors. One day down the line, they're either going to take over this church or start their own church wherever God would call them. And so we're setting them in today, and we want to do it in front of you guys because this is their family. And they are the ones that are going to be pastoring, not only you, but also your children. Vince serves right now as our campus director, Aaron as our youth pastor. And so this is tremendous for us as a church family, that there is a greater grace coming upon these two gentlemen and their wives to lead our church and our community to what Jesus has for us. Amen. Pastor Ron, he's going to read a scripture, and then I'm going to read a verse, and we're going to lay hands and pray for these two great men. Go ahead, Pastor Ron.
Exciting day. Here's men and his families. I was thinking about this morning, and just wanted to share a passage out of 1 Timothy, who was a young pastor of a church that Paul wrote two letters to. So that's pretty significant, how that God looks at the next generation. He's very interested in it. And even what you guys are doing now, that you're reaching the next generation, is so critical and it's important. But now the Lord says it's time to add a little more weight.
Good, good.
And I think that guys are ready for that. You're excited about it. I want to read this. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop or a pastor or a leader, he desires a good work. When I read that this morning, the Lord just stopped me right there, because we think about pastors and, oh wow, they must have desired a good work. It doesn't say that they desired a good platform or a big platform or a loud microphone, or now that I'm a pastor, somebody can get me some water and, you know, wait on me hand and foot. But it says that they desire a good work. I think all of the leadership here has noticed one thing about all of y'all, is that you're ready to work.
Good,
you have
good.
Worked.
Too strong.
And it's no stranger to you. You embrace the fact that, hey, I'll receive the weight because God's going to give me the strength to carry it out. And then in verse 7, and this is critical, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. So people are watching. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So it's not a hypocritical act, the way that you act on the outside world. It's just that the responsibility that you now carry, as we lay hands on you and pray for you, as pastors, not just in a church, but wherever you go, you're an example. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I think that's something that we should carry with us every day, whether we're competing, whether we're upset with our spouse,
mm-hmm.
or upset with our kids, or upset with some church member that made you mad. So I just bless you today, and I know that the future that you guys have, that the Lord has for you, is huge.
Amen.
It's critical. And God's hand is on it. He's going to bless it. And I applaud you from my heart that I can celebrate this day with you guys.
Good, Pastor Ron. You guys step up here a little bit more. Come on up. I'm also going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It says, if you, Vince and Aaron, put these things before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hopes set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Vince and Aaron, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Aaron and Vince, I simply want to ask you a question. Do you come in agreement with the Word of God that we have read over you today? Tremendous. Pastor Ron, why don't you pray? Pastor Travis and I will pray as we lay hands on these guys. Bethel family, why don't we extend our hands to these two individuals as we pray and set them in here this morning?
Father, we thank you for these great men of faith. Lord, who've already tasted what it's like to go outside of the walls of a church and speak to the youth, and speak to our campuses. And Lord, for the support of their spouses. And Lord, for their families. Lord, that they could have done many other things in this life and probably been very successful in business. But Lord, you called them.
Yes, yes.
For such a time as this. And Lord, we lay hands on them.
Yes, Lord.
We commission them even as
good,
Jesus
good,
commissioned
good.
The disciples.
Good.
Even as Paul commissioned Timothy and Titus and others that we read about. Lord, we send them out.
Come on.
We send them out, God, for a great work. It'll be a laborious work at times. It'll be times when it will be stressful and times that they want to throw in the towel. But I thank you, God, that you've prepared them for this moment.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, no turning back. Their hands are to the plow. And Lord, as they plow the ground and they drop seed in the ground, I thank you, Jesus, that you will be the one who brings forth fruit and fruit that will remain. So we bless them. We thank you for them. And we come into agreement today as we send them out
from
Bethel
Jesus.
Community Church, not necessarily to another city,
but Lord.
Right here in this place
Lord.
To see the kingdom of God come on earth Lord. As it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just thank you this morning. We pray as we set these gentlemen in as pastors today, Father, for increased anointing.
Yes.
Father, a double portion, Father, of the anointing of our Heavenly Father this day. Father, we pray, God, that as they walk, Father, that the fruit of their ministry, God, will increase, Father, from this day forward. Father, they will see the fruits of their labor, Father, as men and women turn their hearts to God. Father, I pray as we've read Scripture today, Father, about being an example, Father, I pray that as people look to them, Father, as people look at their lives, as they look at their marriages, as they look at their families, Father, that's challenging and difficult days, Father, as people are looking, as they're living lives that are transparent. Father, I pray for strength, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for grace and mercy on their lives. Father, I pray that they could be an example of taking up their cross daily, Father, denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following you.
Yes,
that
Lord.
People would come to know Jesus just because of looking at them and the example that they lead. How they love their wives and how they treat their children are going to cause men and women,
yes,
Father,
Jesus,
to turn their hearts to Jesus. We thank you and praise you in
Jesus'
name.
Amen. Can we give God a big hand clap for what he's doing? Thank you, Lord. I love you, my friend. You guys can be seated.
All right, guys, we're going to do a couple of announcements here this morning. First of all, we have Starting Point that's coming up on October the 2nd. We would encourage you guys, if you're new to Bethel Community Church or you're exploring a relationship with Jesus Christ or just getting back connected to church, this is a great opportunity for you to come and be part of Starting Point. We have a little saying here that says, your journey begins at Starting Point. So if you're new to Bethel, we would encourage you guys to come out and be part of this. Again, that's October 2nd. All you have to do is take a connection card in the seat back in front of you, and you can fill that out and drop it in the offering bag so that we know about that. We are going to receive the tithe and offering here in just a few months. We have one other announcement. Usually on our celebration of our anniversary service, we have a picnic.
Yep.
And as you can hear right now, the rain that's coming down, somehow we made the decision yesterday to cancel the picnic, but I didn't get that communication. So I'm not sure how that happened exactly, that I was left off of that. But
that's my fault, brother.
It is Pastor Lance's fault.
Forgive me.
If you come near me this morning, I want you to tell the dilemma of this today, that I smell like smoke because I smoked 17 pounds of pork because I didn't get the message about the picnic being canceled. So come hug me today and at least smell the barbecue that I prepared to share with you today.
Oh,
the good news is
nobody cares about you.
The good news is, the good news is we're going to have pork today in my house, 17 pounds of it.
You know, right?
Pastor Lance.
Oh, Travis. He has given me grief all morning because of that. Guys, today is we're going to be a little bit different service. So if you're new here, just hang with us. A little bit different this morning. We are going to receive our tithe and offering. But what we're going to do throughout this service, you're going to hear multiple testimonies of how what God has been doing in the lives of the families here at our church, and also what he's doing with one of our missionaries that is back from the nation of Haiti, what God is doing in her life through that nation. And these testimonies are going to encourage you, because as you hear these testimonies, I believe what you're going to say, hopefully what you're going to say, if Jesus can do it for them, he can also do it for me. And we have a testimony as we're receiving our tithe and offering today. If you're making a check, you can make it out to Bethel. If you'd like to give by envelope cash, you can use the envelope in the seat back directly in front of you. And our testimony before we receive our tithe and offering this morning is going to be from Jennifer Flannery. Give big Jennifer. Jennifer, come on up. Give Jennifer a big hand clap. Travis, would you do a microphone? Come on up here, Jen. I'm so proud of Jen. And I'm so thankful for what she's going to give her story today. So y'all pay attention as Jen shares what God is doing in her life.
All right, thanks. So I'm just like you. All of us have a painful past. Things we have gone through that cause us to wonder, is God even really there? Is he relevant to my life and my situation? This was me. My marriage was struggling. I had no identity and no concept of even how to be a mom. But I'm so thankful that Jesus made himself real. And even though I was asking these questions, Jesus came into my life and began to show me how he can change me and that I don't have to live in that pain.
Good, Jim.
He also brought me to Bethel to connect me into relationships that caused me to grow spiritually. So shortly after I turned my life to Christ, my husband, who was also not following Christ, had called me. And something was extremely different in his voice. Y'all, I'm telling you, he was atheist, and he called me, and there was just love, and there was amazement in his voice that I've never heard before, and I thought, what is going on? He told me that he walked into an organization called Reboot Combat Recovery, and he started talking to me about everything that he's learned and how he wants to know more about God and how he wants to live his life for Christ.
Good, Jim.
This was huge since he was atheist and I was not following Christ as well. So from that decision, we decided to surround ourselves with positive people. We took out all the negative in our life and made a step forward. We didn't miss all the partying and everything that we had been doing. We started searching for churches and we found where we belong here at Bethel. We found a place to plug in and connect. We started using the gifts God gave us to bless others. I am now leading a mom's group where I didn't know I was a mom before, and here I am leading a mom's group. And I'm also attending others to continue growing. My husband helps lead Starting Point, and he is also involved in a lot of different areas in the church. We decided that God blessed us in many ways, and we can't help but stay connected. We have to stay plugged in, for he has done so much in our lives, we can't stay silent. His grace and his mercy has done so much for us that there is nothing comparable to it. We have been blessed by so many people helping us along the way. I can't begin to count the blessings, but I can give all the praise and glory to God, who still performs miracles today, who still waits on us and never gives up, who extends love that we can't compare, where grace overflows and peace lives. I always thought for years, I don't have much to say. I don't have a testimony. I can say that my God has rescued me, and he has continued to cover our family with blessings, and I am eternally his, and I will never be able to express what he has done in our lives from where we were to where we are, and I'm so excited to where he is taking us. So as we give today, please know that your giving is changing someone's story. Mine was changed because people were willing to give to send people out to touch our lives. So please remember this. True.
Good job, sweetheart. Why don't we pray as we give? Father, we thank you so much for, God, what you've done in Jen's life. God, what you've done in Brian's life. God, what you've done in so many lives. And really, it does come, God. You use our resources and our finances, Lord, to impact others. And I pray today, Lord, that that would continue to happen as we give today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can come. If you're a guest and you fill out a connection card, or if you signed up for Starting Point, drop that into the tithing offering basket as it's passed by. And as we continue, guys, today, you know, as I was thinking about these past 14 years, myself and a guy named Mike Cantrell and his wife, we came to Clarksville. And really, a lot of you don't know, but this church was actually birthed out of a tragedy. A young lady at Austin Peay State University actually got hit, who was coming to our campus ministry. That was going on then at that time. Actually got hit by a drunk driver and ended up passing away 3 weeks after that. And so out of that came what you see today, Bethel Community Church. It's amazing how God can change, can take something of a tragedy and turn it into something that's changing people's lives. Amen? Amen. And there has been, over these past 14 years, over 10,000, as Pastor Richard and I and our team was thinking about this, over 10,000 people, because we know that we live right here at Exit 1, a very transient area. Over 10,000 people that have come through these doors have been impacted by Jesus and have gone out to do greater things. And I'm so excited about the stories that you're going to hear today, because I believe they're really going to encourage you. This next testimony is going to come from our Rush Youth Ministry, and that is led by Aaron Rooks. Aaron, come on up here, big faith. Give Aaron a big hand clap as he talks about what God has been doing in and through our ministry, our Rush.
Good morning, everybody. So as Pastor Lance said, my name is Aaron, and I have the privilege to serve the middle school and high schoolers. And every August, we have this thing where we want to start the semester off with a message on how God calls us to go after the lost. And so this past August, the whole month, we went through the book of Luke and looked at the three parables where God talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. And through this whole series, our idea was to share to our students that God's desire is to reach the lost, and he calls us to do the same. And it's the week two, when we went through the woman and the lost coin, if you've ever read that text, in the text it says that, what woman, losing a coin, does not sweep the house and light a lamp? And from that particular verse, what we talk to the students about is that Jesus oftentimes deals with the darkness and messiness in our lives. And Jesus goes to the darkest and messiest places in our lives. And Jesus calls us to do the same. He calls us to shine a light, just like it says the woman lit a lamp. We are that light that goes into the darkness and messiest places of other people's lives. And so we gave our students a charge that
come on.
After that week, you are responsible to go find one friend, or how many you choose to, at lunch, in the hallway, or in a classroom, and share your story, or tell them the gospel. And so me, if I can be honest with you, I gave this charge, but I was very doubtful that they were going to do it. And so the next Sunday, we had our meeting, and I said, hey, did anybody do the assignment? And many of our students raised their hand and began to talk about how they were fearful, but knew that God was leading them to share their story and tell the gospel in a greater way.
Right.
And students even began to invite their friends out. And even people they didn't know. We had one girl that I was like, man, you are like a rock star. So I looked at her, I said, so tell me, what happened? She said, yeah, so I was scared the whole time. I was terrified. And I went to three people, and I began to share what Jesus has done for me and what Jesus can do with them. And I said, so how do you feel? She said, I feel great. Because my story, people need to hear what I have to say.
Good.
And I looked at her, I said, that is exactly right. You have a story to tell. Everybody in here has a story to tell. And I looked at them, I said, look, if you will commit to sharing your story, I promise you that I will commit to equipping you to do it better and better. And we made that commitment. And we have classes that we're offering for our students to help them understand how they can biblically engage their culture, start Bible studies on their campus, and help disciple others as they themselves be discipled. And so if you're a parent in here of a middle school or high schooler, I want to charge you with something. It's you and I's responsibility to lead your child to engage culture and community.
Yeah, good.
But it's our responsibility to help establish biblical foundations in them as they establish biblical foundations in their friends and people they don't know. God is doing great things. God is moving at Rush. Students' lives are being changed. And I just want to say thank you to everybody in here for committing yourselves to give generously, because if you don't give, lives are not changed.
Good, good.
I know we just did an offering, but I mean, my life was changed because somebody like you gave to a campus minister. And I'm fully convinced that as you continue to give, and as parents, as you continue to sow into your child spiritually, I will commit myself to do the same.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good job. Too strong. Vince, come on up. Vince is going to give a testimony of a young man that was reached at Austapee State University, plugged into our church. Vince.
Awesome. So I'm going to share Jonah's testimony. Many of you know Jonah. He serves on our worship team, and he'd actually be here himself this service to share his testimony, but he's so faithful in our Go Kids ministry. So if you have a third to fifth grader, he's back there serving. I'm just going to simply read what he sent me because I feel like it's very powerful. This is Jonah's story. He said, I was a music major studying classical guitar at Austin Peay when I met ENC. It was my third semester there when I decided that I couldn't do it anymore. Amidst my love for music, I was depressed and confided in drugs for comfort. When I told my peers that I was dropping out, my dear friend Tia invited me out to this thing called Life Group. She said, I think I understand what you're looking for, and I think you'll find it here. So I went and got in touch with some of the people, but didn't really think much of it. Over the next week, I couldn't hear over all of the noise in my head, and I was suffering from major panic attacks. I went to the therapist on campus and talked to her, but it really didn't have much effect. Good. It wasn't until I went back to one of their Thursday night meetings that I truly heard the gospel for the first time. When I did, I fell out crying, and I knew that this Jesus was what I was looking for. Months later, I got water baptized, though I still dropped out of school, and I couldn't stop doing drugs. It wasn't until a year later when I went to the Every Nation Campus Student Conference that I encountered the Holy Spirit in full. Ever since then, I've been clean from drugs going on a year and a half, and I've been free from depression and rage in my life. Now I'm back in school to finish my degree and am plugged in both on campus and here at Bethel. If anyone takes anything from my story, I pray that it would be that God loves you always.
Good.
No matter if you fail, disobey him, or outright hate him. He's been a father for a long time, and a good one at that. Thank you for listening. Woo.
Awesome. Our next testimony is going to come from our missionary. You guys might not know, but we have missionaries that we sent out from this church. And this young lady has been serving in the nation of Haiti. Give a big hand clap to Adrian. Adrian, come on up here. We're so glad to have Adrian back. Adrian, how long have you been gone now?
3 years.
3 years. And so we're so happy to have Adrian here with us today. Go ahead, Adrian.
Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be back, especially for such a special Sunday. I've been a part of Bethel for 9 years, and this has really become home for me, so it's exciting to come back and hear the testimonies of what God has done all these 14 years and what he's been doing since I've been gone. I think, you know, a lot of times in life we can look at someone like Pastor Lance or Aaron or Vince or a missionary and just think, like, they're these, like, super Christians, and they are, you know, have all their lives together, and they have this incredible calling, and it can feel very unattainable.
Good, Adrian.
But I think something that I want everyone to understand is, like, all of us are just like you, and we all started there one day. I was 13 going to church, and I went on a mission trip, and God called me into ministry. And I spent years and years here at Bethel just serving and coming every Sunday and coming to small group and really discovering God's heart for what my calling was, what he was doing in the nations. And I stand on this stage now, and I look back at the past 32 years, and I see so many things that God has done that at the time did not make any sense. And I didn't understand what he was doing and why I was going through these things and why he moved me here or had me meet this person. But you look back and you see that everything was intentional. And God has this great plan in everything that he's doing. And when you look back on the things that he's done and where he's brought you, you can see that his plan was there. And, you know, I look back at my time in Haiti. I've been there for 3 years. And when I first went, I actually went because I led a trip with Bethel. And I had no idea what I was doing. I went back for 4 months thinking it was just a quick trip. And 3 years now I've been there. And there were so many things in that time that I haven't understood. So many, Haiti's not an easy place to live. There's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of just day-to-day life is hard. But I look back at the 3 years, and I look at all of the things that he's done, and I see that he brought me there at just the perfect time. Yeah. And he had my specific gifts and talents and callings that he needed in Haiti at that moment. And so whatever your story is, wherever you're at, wherever mission field God has called you to, because it's not necessarily Haiti.
Good.
Maybe it's here in Clarksville. Maybe it's in your work or Hopkinsville, or maybe it's, you know, on the other side of the world. Whatever that calling is, he has a specific
Good,
place
Adrian.
For you,
Good.
For your gift and your passion and the thing that he's placed inside of you that doesn't make sense and that no one else may understand and no one else may be able to relate to. There's a purpose in it. And at the perfect timing, he's going to take you and he's going to put you exactly where he
Good.
Wants you to use that gift in a way that you never imagined. And so in the time while you're waiting and you don't know, just be faithful. Come to church. Serve.
Very good.
Go to small group. Go on a mission trip. Get involved so that God can direct you where you're going. And then you're going to know exactly when that moment comes. It's going to be so clear to you. And kind of all the pieces are going to come together and you're going to see the full picture of what God has been
Tremendous,
doing.
Tremendous, Adrian. Thank you so much, Adrian. You know, this next couple has been coming to Bethel for, I don't think even a year yet. Not even a year yet. I met them in Starting Point. I get to lead Starting Point every few months, and they attended Starting Point, and I got to meet this wonderful couple. And I just wanted them to share what God has been doing in their life, and really what God has really done is they've connected to the life of our church, and that is Hendry and Sandra. Come on up here, guys. Give Hendry and Sandra a big hand clap. Come on up here. I'm so thankful that Hendry and them, both of them are willing to, there you go, don't fall. Both of them are willing to do this this morning because, you know, here at Bethel, we're here to reach our community. And this is such a great picture of what we're really trying to accomplish as a church. Mr. Hendry?
Good morning. As you said, I'm Hendry, and this is my beautiful bride, Sandra, of 28 years. Thanks. Yeah, she was able to put up with me for that long. So. About a year ago, we moved from Hopkinsville to here, to Clarksville. And we knew at that point in time we had to find us a church. Now, we were a member of a church in Hopkinsville. We were active. We ran the nursery. We ran the kitchen. We did all this stuff. And we knew we had to be in touch somewhere. And so we set up a plan for the first year to basically church shop, you know. And so we set up a list. And we picked here on Sunday, and we picked here on Sunday. We went to this church on Sunday. And we visited here because of a couple that was here, Donnie and Michelle Bowen. Hmm. I know them both from my job. So they hooked us up, and we came and visited. And it was something about Bethel. But we still visited. It seemed like every Sunday that there wasn't a place to go, we ended up coming to Bethel. And if you look around, if you actually turn around and look at your whole crowd, if you look at the diversity that's here, there's black, there's white, there's Caucasian, there's nationalities. The multicultural is just crazy.
Good,
I mean, you know, it's amazing. And then when I thought of the multi-generational, now I'm almost 60, all right? I'm one of the old guys. And when I look around and I see little to big, to bigger,
yeah,
to college,
good,
to elementary, to kindergarten, to my age and older, that's what he planned for us to do, you know? And it came to me, I was sitting there and I was reading, and Luke 4:16, he said, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. That's Jesus. He said, go to the synagogue. He said, go to church. Well, that's what he told us. We had prayed for a year to find a church. Well, guess what we found? We ended up here. So this is where God has led us, to be part of this congregation, to be part of this church. And there was like so many things that we saw, like the diversity here, all right? And then this dynamic team of this guy over here, Pastor Lance and Pastor Richard. Every church I've ever been to in my whole life, there's always been one guy. When I came here and I saw this team bounce off each other and share the message of the Bible, every message that we've heard here, every time I hear a message, it comes strictly from the Bible.
Good, Henry.
And that's how he told us to walk. That's where he told us to go. He told us to go and learn and pull from the message of the Bible that these guys put together. You know, so we did that. And we came and we visited and we kept coming. And then they said starting point. So we went to starting point. We found out what the church is all about, where the church is headed, what it's going to do, each step, and how we can be part of that step. So,
good, Henry, very good.
Put it what it is, we found home. And so you that are missing, or if you're visiting and you're looking for a place to put your feet under the table, guess what? This can be home. And go to starting point, and it'll show you where you need to be.
Good. Good job, Henry. Tremendous. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you so much. Henry, don't forget your phone. Hey, my iPad. You know, this last testimony comes from a couple that have been with us pretty much from the very beginning here at this church. They are pillars in this church. They serve faithfully in our children's ministry, leading one of our community groups, and that's Kelby and Jen Hightower. Come on up. Give them a big hand clap. So glad that they're going to share with us today. Kelby and Jen mean so much to my wife and I. And so thank you guys for sharing today.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. So I am Kelby, and this is my wife, Jennifer, and with the Hightowers. Some of you guys, obviously, we're close friends with. We're just like you guys, a family, normal. I run a business. Jennifer's been a stay-at-home mom for 16 and a half,
yeah,
years now. She just vacated our last child, Jonathan. We didn't get rid of them, but they all are in school, and which has been a change in season in our home, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about with some age, getting rid of your kids. So we have been here actually August of 2009 was our first Sunday. We actually came the next week and showed up at the picnic.
Uh-oh.
And just wanted to kind of share kind of what we saw coming into the church 2 years prior, how we ended up here. I went to a meeting and met Pastor Mike and Lance, got invited to another meeting the following week, which was their pastoral meeting or staff meeting here at the church, which was kind of weird for me. but if you're ever hanging around these guys, you'll find that typically you're invited to things. So out of that meeting, we ended up staying out of church for 2 more years. We wanted to be able to leave but did not feel the release of God, stayed there and served, and then finally one day, God spoke, we left. So we ended up here at August. And from there, one of the first things we saw about this church that made it so unique is typically churches are led from the top down. And really this model of church from years and years of watching it grow, it's modeled from a servant leadership model. And so one of the first things my wife noticed was Pastor Lance serving in children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I noticed was when we went to the picnic, Pastor Mike and Pastor Lance, who planted the church, were holding trash bags, collecting trash. Now, my son takes our trash out in my house because he's old enough to do that. But that spoke a lot, and as I've been a business owner for years, and I've seen businesses ran from a servant leadership model. And typically, your people stay around, and they love what you're doing when that happens. So what we wanted to kind of share with you guys today is what I kind of deem the doormat philosophy. Most of us here that have kids, we go back and we're going to see Jonah today serving. He's not out here telling a story. He actually is back there serving. We want to encourage you guys that one of the things we've done as a family, not only my wife and I, but now our kids are beginning to do this as well, is actually serve. And one of the greatest needs and greatest spots that you guys can serve in is the building right behind us called Go Kids.
Yes.
What I call it is the opportunity to be a doormat. In a great story, there's always a guide, there's always a hero, and there's always a villain.
Yeah.
The hero, obviously, in the church is Jesus. And as a doormat, we get to see doormats when we walk into homes, don't we? They say, welcome, enter in. They have, come on in, and hey, y'all, it's fall, whatever you want to. But you guys actually, by serving in children's ministry, we actually begin to be the guide.
Tremendous.
The enter here.
Good.
The parents come, scared to death, enter here. Welcome. We'll take your child. Just go. They're going to be okay screaming. they don't always scream. But I just want to encourage you guys. Sometimes you're going, how do I plug in? What do I do? And sometimes we just don't know where to start. And I would encourage you guys to be that doormat, to lay yourself down like these servant leaders that you see among you, Aaron, Vince, Pastor Lance, Pastor Ron, all these men of God and women of God that you see lead. Be that doormat to see your church, not just
our church,
but your church grow from that. So my wife's going to share on how to plug in and how to do that.
So I have served in children's ministry for as long as I can remember, and I've been serving back here since we've been coming. A lot of times we think, I can't go back there.
Yeah.
The kids are hard to deal with. It is such a blessing to serve back there, to watch them raise their hands and praise Jesus and play their little instruments in the smaller classes. They ask questions about the lesson. They are learning. They are praising Jesus. They are memorizing their verses. I leave feeling like I was out here, but I was back there the whole time. I actually received bigger blessing being back there sometimes than sitting
there. Hey, what's up with that?
Listen to Victor. So if you want to come back and serve with us, you can fill it out on the connection card in the seat back behind you, and someone will get with you. Or when you go pick your kids up, grab an application from Jasmine.
Very good.
It's back there. Hope to see y'all come serve with us.
Tremendous, tremendous. Great job, Jim. Jesse, you can come on up. You can come on up, Jesse. You know, guys, why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Come on up, Jesse. You know, you might be asking yourself, which, you know, when you come to an anniversary service, and where do we go from here? Where do we go from here as a people, as a church? And where I want to go is to hearing more stories about what you just heard. That's what I want to see. And I believe that's all of us today, that we all want to see more people impacted. Because really, friends, that's what being a Christian is all about. Being a Christian is about loving Jesus, trying to follow Him the best that you can, seeing things overcame in your life, but it's also about loving others. That's the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with what? All the heart, mind, soul, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we are moving forward as a church, our heart is that we want to see more stories, just like we heard today, come to pass. And so what that means is that there's going to have to be in all of us a greater commitment and a greater sacrifice that's going to have to happen. Because this is how we're going to reach our community, is by you getting plugged into where God has brought you. How do I get plugged in? They just talked about. If you're not serving, it's time to get serving. It's time to serve. There's no more of you sitting on the bench, watching the game being played. No. It's time for you to get in the game yourself and say, I have gifts, I have talents, I have a story. Whether that's in children's ministry, with our guest services, or leading a community group, it's time to serve. It's time also not just to serve, but it's also time to give. Uh-oh, here I go. It's time to give. Some of you have never taken that step and trusted God with your resources. Maybe 10%, because you hear church talk about 10% all the time. Tithe. Well, maybe that's too much for you, because it is. If you've never given before, 10% is a lot. You want me to take 10% of what I make and give it to you? I don't think so. You're not really giving it to me. You're giving it to the house of God, this church. Well, maybe it's 2%. Maybe it's 3%. Start somewhere. Let's start somewhere. And let's watch what God begins to do in our finances. For some of you here today, you might be wondering, I'm new here. Well, the first step is exactly what Henry talked about. Starting point. Starting point is a great, easy first step. There's no expectations on you. There's no demands. What you do is you get to come and find out what the church is all about. You get some biblical principles, foundations laid in your life. And you begin to discover, what is these people, this place that God is bringing me to? If you've already taken that step, we have a little saying, your journey begins at starting point of what continues in community. It's getting connected to one of our community groups where you find others who are facing some of the same things you're facing. Not just where you can connect in relationship with them, but also where you can begin to gain victory over whatever you're facing. See, it's one thing to have a struggle, but it's another thing to have that struggle year after year after year. You know God wants you to gain victory over whatever you're facing today. And oftentimes that comes by what? Yes, trusting in Him, but also connecting arms with the people God has called you to walk with. Continues in community. And it also ends by leaving a legacy. And Pastor Richard and I are so excited because really this whole legacy piece, we've talked a lot about starting point here at Bethel. We've talked a lot about community groups. But this whole idea of leaving a legacy, we want to begin over these next couple of months as we come to the end of 2018 to begin to release to you what this whole legacy idea is all about. See, some of you guys have been here for a while and you're probably wondering, what do I do? I've been here for a while, Pastor Lance, 14 years, 9 years. What's the next step for me? Where this whole idea of leaving a legacy is going to speak to you. Because when we say living a legacy, what we mean is investing in others. Because again, all of us have a story. And God wants you to tell that story because your story can change someone else's life. Amen? Why don't we just, if you feel comfortable, just lift your hands here today.